I'm so glad we have our speaker here. I just want to say one thing. I don't know our speaker, but I will introduce this way. That I really believe that to have a healthy church, we need healthy families. And to have a healthy city, we need a healthy church to impact the city. If we want a healthy world for Christ, we all start from the family. The reason is because family is created by God. Remember Adam and Eve? And he says family. Remember he said it's good after everything he made. But when he made Adam, he says it's no good. He needs a wife. So that's why we have family. So that's why we're happy that we have this chance to learn together so that we can create healthy families for the sake of a healthy church. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for our speaker. Thank you for all our speakers who worked so hard to give your teaching to us. May we be ready to receive the truth into our hearts, be joyful that we have a chance to learn and to practice. Please bless the whole time together. No matter how many people are here, Lord, we know that those you want to learn are here. And we are going to listen, we're going to learn, and we're going to apply. May you use this time for the good of your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Welcome.
Well, my name is Kathy. Thank you for being here. It's so beautiful outside. It's kind of tempting to be out and about. Yes. Oh, yes, that'd be great. Here, I'm just going to do this. And I will actually just let you pass that, and I've got more. We are. I love. God did create a family, and he gave us the amazing gift of being able to bless our loved ones. And so today we're going to talk about speaking the blessing. Because it can change. Do I need a mic? I'm fine. My doctor, sir, is this one done?
I think it is, so that would be better.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I can do it.
If somebody needs a recording on that.
That's probably better. Well, I thought maybe because you're at a retreat, we can start with just something a little fun today. I heard you had fun last night. The fireworks were wonderful, and it was a beautiful night. Yeah. I was telling a couple in the back that we went up north to Snohomish with my daughter and her family, and boy, it had been a beautiful day. By the time we got up there, the wind was blowing, it was cool, it was raining, so they changed it a little bit. Okay, I'm going to share a little story. I don't know if this story is true or not. It says it's true, but I'll share the reason I'm going to share it. A friend recently told a true story about the pastor of his church. He had a kitten that climbed up a tree in his backyard and then was afraid to come down. The pastor coaxed, offered warm milk, everything. The kitty would not come down. The tree was not sturdy enough to climb, so the pastor decided that if he tied a rope to his car and drove away so that the tree bent down, he can then reach up and get the kitten. Well, that's what he did, all the while checking his progress in his car. He then figured if he went just a little bit further, the tree would be bent sufficiently for him to reach the kitten. But as he moved the car a little further forward, the rope broke. The tree went boom, and the kitten instantly sailed through the air out of sight. The pastor felt terrible. He walked all over the neighborhood asking people if they'd seen a little kitten. No, nobody had seen a stray kitten. So he prayed, "Lord, I just commit this kitten to your keeping," and went about his business. A few days later, he was at the grocery store and met one of his church members. He happened to look into her shopping cart and was amazed to see cat food. This woman was a cat hater and everyone knew it, so he asked her, "Why are you buying cat food when you hate cats so much?" She replied, "You won't believe this," and then told him how her little girl had been begging her for a cat, but she kept refusing. Then a few days before, the child had begged again, so the mom finally told the little girl, "Well, if God gives you a cat, I'll let you keep it." She told the pastor, "I watched my child go out in the yard, get on her knees, and ask God for a cat. And really, pastor, you won't believe this, but I saw it with my own eyes. A kitten suddenly came flying in the air with its paws outspread and landed right in front of her." Isn't that amazing? We serve an amazing God. You know, if that girl needed a little kitten, I have no doubt that God giver, a kid. Yes. And God will give us amazing miracles in our family. And I believe one way to bless our family is, well, we're going to talk about two ways today. Is this working?
Because you have the receiver there.
Yes, it is. Yay. Okay, I'm going to go out this way just to hold a second. I'm messing this up. Am I good? We're going to talk about two ways we can bless our family. We're going to talk about just the power and influence we have by speaking every day encouraging words and how that can make a difference. It has the power to change the course of our children's life. It has the power to affect generations to come. And then we're going to talk about the purposeful invoking the name of God and inviting His goodness, His favor to be upon our children. Two very powerful ways we can bless our family. First off, we're going to start with just our intentional uplifting good words. Now, the Hebrew people knew about speaking the blessing. That was very common in their households, and invoking the name of God and speaking the blessing over their children. But right now, we're going to start with Proverbs 18:21, and what it says about words. We have the wonderful opportunity and ability to bless someone with our everyday encouraging, uplifting, positive words, or the intentional act of invoking the name of God and speaking God's favor and power in someone's life. That is the most powerful way to bless someone's life. Now we're going to look at Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it, for death or life. That's powerful, isn't it? When you think about it, we're eating the fruit of our words. Think about your last few words. Would that be good fruit? Hopefully. Or Proverbs 6:2, a fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to himself. We can be snared by the words of our mouth. Ouch. I know I've been snared by my words more than I'd like to admit. And in fact, I didn't know really the power of my words until several years back. But I've been a Christian many years before I realized the power that I held in my words. And it's especially true in our homes, in our family, those closest to us. Just like Pastor said, families are the place, the beginning place. God designed them. He gives us families to lay that foundation, the beginning place where our children's lives start taking a certain course. And our words can make a huge difference. Our words can trigger faith or fear, joy or sadness. They can build up or they can tear down. They can set things in motion that put us on a course of victory in life or a course of disappointment and destruction. Our words are very important. It's a spiritual principle. Studies show that our emotional and psychological makeup needs to know that somebody believes in us. Somebody thinks we're great. Most people will rise to that level of expectation that they have been given by those closest around them. How many of you can remember a time that somebody spoke such encouraging words to you, it just really made a difference in your life? Maybe even set you on a certain course. Maybe somebody told you, you're really good at math. You're really good at music. And it set you on a course. Anybody? Yeah. I think if we thought about it, there are. I love to tell the story, and I've used it well, he's, dates me probably. He's a little older than I, well, probably quite a few years older than me. But when I first came to the Lord, he was a big name, an evangelist. And he traces back his whole ministry and what God has done through his ministry to a conversation he had with his father when he was 10 years old. He says he can remember the street they were on, the car they were riding in, the way his father turned to him and said, "So Bill, I hear you're a soul winner." And he just like, whoa, his dad was a pastor and he knew that that was dear to his heart, that Bill would be winning souls. And he didn't realize that Bill's mother had overheard Bill sharing the gospel with a friend a few days before, and the mom had shared it with Bill's dad. And Bill's dad was excited. "So I hear you're a soul winner." Well, that so touched Bill in his spirit that he just, oh, he felt taller, he was encouraged, and he wanted to be a soul winner. He hadn't felt like he'd done it very well that day, but he wanted to learn how to do it even better. And so he started inviting his friends to Sunday school. He started sharing the gospel. By the time he was in high school, he had a Bible study in school. When he went to college, he formed different groups, and he'd go out in the neighborhood and knock on doors and share the gospel. And he did become a famous evangelist and author. And he says everything in his ministry traces back to those encouraging words of his father that said, "So I hear you're a soul winner, though." We have people in our influence, whether you're a parent or a grandparent, an aunt or an uncle or a Sunday school teacher, you have children, you have people in your life that you can encourage beyond what you may think or know, and put them on a course that God has for their life. That's how powerful our words are. Every one of us. I want you to think, just right now, think of who might be God putting on your heart and mind that you need to say an encouraging word to? It might be like Bill's father, where it will change the course of his life. I'm sorry, I move around. I want to share another little story about how our everyday words changed a little girl's life. She had a cleft lip, made her smile kind of awkward. The kids didn't know kind of what to think about that. When she got to elementary school, very few of them would play with her. She kind of just knew she was kind of odd, looked kind of odd, so she just stood back, didn't have a lot of friends, kind of stayed to herself. Well, one day, the school had a hearing test, and for the teacher, what the teacher had them do for this hearing test was to walk up to her, and she would quietly say something to them as they walked away from her, and they had to say what she was saying in front of the class. So she did this, and kids would come up, and, you know, most of the time she'd say, "The sky is blue," or, "I like your coat," or whatever, and they would repeat if they heard what she said, and then she could tell whether that was right or not. Well, this little girl came up to the teacher, and she was already nervous. She didn't like to go in front of the class. She felt awkward. So when she came up, the teacher said to her, "I wish you were my little girl." And they had to repeat it. They had to repeat what the teacher said as they walked away. She said, "I wish you were my little girl." That changed her. It changed the way the kids looked at her. From then on, they went, boy, if the teacher thought she was that worthy of wanting to be her little girl, they wanted to get to know her. And, you know, she went on to be a successful person. And she looks back at that year, the teacher had that hearing test, and said, "I wish you were my little girl," as a change point in her life. One little sentence, spoken in probably less than 30 seconds, and it put that girl on a different course. It's amazing the difference. You know, and this especially, now sometimes parents are busy, and poor grandparents, oh, by the way, did I even say my name? I'm Kathy Griffiths. been married 43 years to my husband, Steve. We were sweethearts in high school, and we have two children, a 38-year-old and a 33-year-old, a girl and a boy, and I have four grandchildren. So I love being a grandma. I've had a lot of summer time already with them at the house, so that's been really special. And I try to keep this message in my mind. Like I say, I didn't know the importance of my words when I was younger. When I was a young parent, I wish somebody had taught me. And as I grew in the Lord, and as I did learn these things, I really tried to put them into practice. But you know what? I need to be reminded all the time about the power of my words. I love to teach this. I love to talk about this. And most of all, because I need to be reminded of it myself. I don't think we can ever hear too many messages on the power of our words and how they can affect our families, our loved ones. Proverbs 16:24 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in setting of a silver. Get that picture? Apples of gold in setting of silver. How fitting words. Pleasant words are honeycomb, sweetness to the soul, and health to the bones. On the other hand, it's possible to discourage and dishearten with our critical and fault-finding words. You know, if children only hear harsh, critical words, it can really cause them to become insecure. And sometimes, if it's bad enough, they'll even shut down. Their little spirit will be feeling that rejection and insecurity, and they'll really shut off from relationships. If you've ever seen that, where kids just kind of pull away and shut down, often it's because of the critical and harsh words being spoken over them. And I know sometimes as parents, we don't ever mean to speak harm into our children's lives. Sometimes it's out of that want for them to have success. I mean, we're always telling them, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to clean your room, you need to brush your teeth, you need to do your homework. You know, and we're just trying to be helpful and scoot them in that right path, not realizing that as we correct, there's a place for correct, but we need to make sure that we're balancing even more so on the scale of our positive, encouraging words. We need to hear those to feel secure in our love. They need to hear that so they can feel unconditionally loved. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that tomorrow. Some, you know, we lay down our life for our kids. We love them that much. But they don't always get that. They don't always feel that. One reason is because they, I don't know if you've ever heard about the love languages. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. How we can keep our children's emotional tank full through loving them in their love language. We all have a certain way that we receive love from others, more so than other languages. There's five love languages. And, you know, they're all different for each one of us. Some of us, really, our love language is those kind words. And we need to hear them, those lifting up, encouraging words all the time to feel secure. Where other people don't need to. I know I need to hear those words. My husband, he doesn't. It's not important to him. But he needs other way of showing my love for him. So we're going to talk about those tomorrow, but I want you to know that we don't always know about the importance of our words, but there is somebody who does know the importance of our words, and that's the enemy. The enemy of our soul, the enemy that doesn't want us to succeed in the things of God, and he will try with all his power to get us to speak negative, hurtful, destructive words. Because he knows the power of our words. He knows that if we speak destructive words, we're planting seeds. And those seeds will not bring up something different than what they are. If we're speaking destruction, they'll come up destruction. And he knows that. So we need to be careful as we're speaking our words that we realize we're planting seeds. good things to grow. And some of us, you know, our parents, my parents didn't know that for sure. And they weren't necessarily overcritical or harsh, but they didn't know the importance of encouraging, inspiring words. And many of us probably come from homes that didn't realize the importance their words held. And I just want to encourage you today that the blessing is greater than any words spoken over you. So if that's the case, I want you to just draw a line in the sand and say, I'm not receiving those words anymore. I'm not going to rehearse them in my mind. I'm not going to take them on and dress up and in them and think, oh yeah, I'm no good at that. Yeah, I never did hit that right. Yeah, I never was very smart. If those words have been spoken over you, I just encourage you. Just put them out. And then start speaking God's word over your life. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm a child of God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you know what? You'll have made a difference not only in your life, but you'll make a difference in your children's lives and in their children's lives. You'll break that line of discouraging words. Like I say, we do it sometimes not even realizing it. And the folks may have done that without realizing the importance of it. Now, some of you may have grown up in a family where they did know the power of speaking the blessing. Yay. Hallelujah. Amen. It is definitely a powerful thing. Listen to the story of Levi. This kid was born just with, you know, kind of a bulldog little form. Had just a tenacity from the time he came out of the womb. And, you know, it was kind of cute when he was little. I mean, you tried to take a little toy away from him. No way you weren't going to pull that toy away from him. And his family just started calling me Mike. And by the time he got to elementary, guess what? He was the bully on the playground. By the time he got to high school, he was a great football player because he was so aggressive. But that didn't last long. It got out of hand, and pretty soon he was kicked off the team. And before too long, after high school, he found himself in jail. Mean Mike. He lived up to his name. And those, you know, sometimes it just starts with just a casual little joke. I mean, they probably didn't mean any harm. But believe me, little Mike, he just had that tenacity about it. And it really put him on a course that wasn't a good course. Listen to what the words of one mother to her son as she cuddled her grandson in her arms. How could anyone as dumb and ugly as you have such a good-looking child? Bad joke? Yeah. But look what happens. Almost instantly it brought tears to Mark's eyes. Stop it, Mark said empathetically. That's all I've ever heard from you. It's taken me years to believe I'm not ugly and dumb. Why do you think I haven't been home in so long? I don't ever want to hear you say I'm dumb again. You know, this mom, she had several kids, and she just had done that. Just that was a way that she joked around with them. I did this class one time, and I had a lady come afterwards, and she was just in tears. She said, oh, I needed to hear that so bad, because that was my thing. They were always telling me I was ugly. She had brothers. You know, sometimes we don't realize, even when our children are saying to one another, the destructive words that they can use on one another, not realizing the power of their words. So it's good to even teach our children, your words are powerful, and we need to talk with respect and encouragement and inspiring and uplifting words to one another. Right words breathe life into everything around us, and they can bring life into situations where someone is hurting. Our words can make a powerful difference. We can, you know, sometimes when we're in the midst of raising our children, we may see things that we don't like. And we don't know how to change it. And we're praying. And another thing we can do, prayer is absolutely bottom line, the most important thing. But we can start speaking with faith over our children. Instead of reinforcing all the negative that we're seeing, or the real negative that we're seeing, we can grab hold of the scripture and God's word, the promises for our children. We can grab hold of those words, put them in our mind, and we can start speaking them. This one scripture, my children are taught of the Lord, and great is their peace. Lord, you guide my children with your eye. Father, and you teach them in the way that they should go. No weapon that is formed against them shall prosper. Put those things in your prayer and say, thank you, God, that no weapon formed against my children is going to prosper. Thank you that you teach them, you give them your peace, and you will guide them with your eye. And grab hold of God's word where your children come in and hold on to it with, tenacity. And speak it out. It's powerful. God's word is sharper than a two-edged sword. It's alive and active. And when we speak it out, God's power is behind it. When we're speaking those words, those promises, it's one of the most powerful things we can do toward our children. I've heard many well-meaning parents speak negative things over their children. They love their children. But they say things like, oh, you know what? I have to watch everything they do because they never do it right. You know, or boy, they never pick good friends. Or their choices are never what I would have them choose. They're not the good choice. So watch your words and start changing those to the things that God says. Start agreeing with what God's word says about our children. You're shaping your child's future with the words that you're speaking. I like to think of it as framing your child's world with your words. Frame your child's world with good words. Our words have immeasurable power. They can snare us, they can cause us trouble, or they can empower and encourage us. Every day, we have hundreds of opportunities to speak encouraging words to our loved ones. They are powerful. They're like pulling a trigger. And you can speak fear, or faith, or joy, or sadness. You can speak positive things into your child's life. The next place we're going to go is the intentional act of invoking the name of God and speaking God's power and favor into our child's life. How many of you grew up in a home where your parents spoke the blessing over you? Wow. Yay. Yay. Not many of us. Well, I just want to encourage you today. This is one of the most powerful, I think I'm getting way off from my notes, but this is one of the most powerful things that I learned as a young mama, and I did it totally by accident. Not by accident, God's Holy Spirit. Take that back. I believe, looking back, it was His Spirit leading and guiding me when my son, who's the youngest of my two children, he was 5 months old, and I was feeling exhausted. My daughter, she was an easy baby. She slept when you wanted her to sleep. She ate when you wanted her to eat. She went anywhere, did everything, and you never even hardly knew she was there. My son was a different story. I mean, life was about his schedule, about what he wanted, when he wanted it, and sleep, he just didn't do that well. And so I remember, some of us have been there, right? About 5 months old, I thought, I'm not getting much sleep. I'm just exhausted. And I went to put him to bed one night. And I had grown up going to church. And I remember the pastor, when it came time to end the service, reaching up his arms and speaking the end blessing over us. The Lord bless you and keep you. And I remember remembered that somewhere in my mind. And I remember putting his pants down. And I remember putting him down to bed. And in those days, we put him on our tummies. Don't do that. But we put him on, I put him on his tummy, and I was just rubbing his back. And I thought, almost with tears in my eyes because I was exhausted. Oh, Aaron, the Lord bless you. May he shine his face upon you, lift up his countenance upon you, and give you his peace. I mean, it just, I mean, I don't even know where the words came from as I rubbed his back. And I tell you, honestly, it was just like his whole body. And he slept well, and I knew I was on something. It was like, whoa, this is good. And so I started speaking that blessing over my children. Every night, both of them. And we have not done everything right as parents. I wish I knew, would have known a lot more than I did when I was raising them. But by the grace of God, they both love the Lord and are serving the Lord and bringing their children up in the Lord. And I am so thankful. And I think one of the main things has been speaking that blessing into their life. It's way more than a bedtime ritual. It is a powerful act where we have invoked the name of God and invited his favor, his goodness, into their life. And the Hebrew people, they didn't know about that. That was so spoken of in the Old Testament. We see it often when the Hebrew father is giving the blessing to his children. They call it the baraka, the blessing. And that's why Esau was so disturbed when Jacob got the blessing instead of him, because they believe that words are so powerful that once spoken, they go out to make a difference. They go out to touch that child's world. And the father could not take that blessing back and then give it to Esau. It had been spoken, and it was a done deal. Our words are powerful, and then invoking. You know, the Hebrew people often gave a prophecy over their children. They knew what the future, God had shown them a picture of what the future held for that child. We don't often, in our culture, have a prophecy that have a picture of their, thank you, of their future. You just knew, thank you, Lord, to speak it real detailedly, but we do know the purpose and plan that God has for them is good. And so we can speak that into and over their life. So what does a blessing look like? Oh, before I go there, I want to share some stories about some families like me learned about the blessing and what a difference it made in their families. One single mom said, I ran out of answers on how to deal with my rebellious teenage son. He tested my patience beyond its limits, and in the process stirred up negative attitudes in the rest of her children. As she saw no end to the confusion and the tension, she tried to reason with him and ask others to counsel him. She sent him to camps, conferences, but nothing worked. And then she heard about the power of the spoken blessing. And one day when her children were battling one another again, she interrupted them and said to her combative son, I want to give you a blessing. He pulled away. I don't want a blessing. It didn't stop her. She recalled some of the qualities that she believed God wanted to cultivate in his life, and she said those words in a spoken blessing. Oh, Father, would you bless my son with wisdom and understanding, with your kindness and compassion? Would you cause him to know your love, your peace, your joy? In the name of Jesus. She said there was no mockery or sarcastic comeback, which would be common for her son. Instead, the son mumbled a response, walked away. She kept doing this for several weeks over her children. And in a matter of a couple weeks, the whole atmosphere in her home changed. Children got along better, and she says it's a miracle. She'd seen what it was like before. That was the power of the blessing. Do we have any single moms in here? No. Anyone? Are you?
Well, sometimes it is like that. Yes, and single mom, bless you. I have a little book for you after, because I know it's, you know, I work, I do children and family ministry at Grace Lutheran in Des Moines, Washington. I've been in the children and family ministry for 27 years. So I've seen a lot of families, and I've seen single moms bless them, taking that challenge of raising their children and nurturing them in the face of the Lord. And God will be that husband. He will be our strength and our encouragement to move forward. And bless this single mom that she learned the power of speaking the blessing.
There's another family in there that has three daughters, and she mentioned, they mentioned the father bringing them together and speaking a blessing over each one in a circle. And the daughter, the oldest daughter, speaks here, and she says, every time my father gets through blessing us, the most amazing thing happens. My sisters and I don't quarrel. We, for being blessed, we would never do that. We hug each other. We tell each other how much we love each other. And they become closer and closer as the Father has continued to do this. Another story. An emotionally disturbed orphan was having a continued problem with bedwetting. His host family gave him a verbal blessing, asking God to deliver him from his fears, and to bless him with self-control, security, and peace. And after the first blessing, the bedwetting stopped. Another parent reports that what happened when their 7-year-old son experienced a problem with sulkiness and gloom that worsened over a period of months. And I've seen this happen. And every attempt we made to correct the problem failed. We had reached a point of exasperation. Then we learned about the power of the spoken blessing, which revealed to them their son's need for a blessing. They gathered the other children around and blessed Samuel. I asked the Lord to bless him with a radiant countenance, joy in his heart, and a beautiful smile that ministered into the life of others. As I was speaking, his little face lit up, his chest puffed out, and he just kept smiling. I spoke that same blessing to him several more times that same week. It's been around 6 months now, and I'm very happy to report that the change in Samuel has been miraculous. He keeps smiling. He has a radiant joy about him, and the first thing we noticed about Samuel in the morning is his beautiful, radiant smile and a very enthusiastic good morning. Yeah. Sometimes you just don't know how to change a behavior, what to do, what's happening, and to be able to speak that blessing and see those miracles, it can make a difference. And how it happens exactly is a mystery. I believe it's like baptism or the sacraments. We're faithful to speak that blessing, and God works through it to impart and bless. We pronounce the blessing. God is the one who actually blesses. We are merely his channels for directing his blessing into the lives of others. It is by faith we speak it. God has called us to be a people of blessing. He has blessed us. He told Aaron to bless the Israelites. And he wants us. He blesses us so we might be a blessing and bless others. So how do we do that? Where do we begin? What words do we speak? I've never done it. I don't know if I'd be comfortable. Would my kids think it's weird? I mean, there's all kinds of things that go through our mind. Would they even stand still? Would they pull away? I just want to encourage you. It doesn't have to be difficult. You know, some families that you talk to, they may bless their children every night, like I did before they went to sleep. Sometimes we would bless them as they went out the door. School. We always, before the first day of school started in the year, special times in their life, maybe a mission trip, whatever, we would sit down as a family and speak that blessing over them. And it might not always be the same blessing. There's many blessings in God's words, many promises that we can speak over them as a blessing. Some people may not bless them once a year.
You know, but they have a special time that they call the family together and speak that blessing over them. I just want to encourage you, don't think you can't do it and neglect speaking the blessing over your children, over your family, because you will never become all that God wants you to become if you don't. And they will never become all that God wants them to be if you don't speak the blessing over them. It doesn't have to be difficult. It doesn't have to be hard. But I would encourage you to ask God, seek God, ask His Holy Spirit to lead you to how to do that and how to do it the way He has fit for your family. Here's a wife that it doesn't even speak about blessing her children, but it speaks about blessing her husband. After 14 years, their marriage hit a flat spot. It wasn't as though they were arguing or fighting or ignoring one another. They were still deeply a devoted couple. And yet after 14 years, they had expected and hoped for something more. Where was that higher, deeper level of spiritual bonding that they desired? It simply wasn't there. So they tried something new. They began to bless each other, actually speaking out loud words of blessing to one another at the beginning of each day. That was more than a quarter of a century ago. Today, they both would tell you that by blessing each other daily, they developed an extraordinary intimacy of heart, soul, and mind. How God does it exactly is a mystery. But when we'll be faithful and do it, He provides. Another woman shares that her troubled marriage was so full of anger and hurt and hate that she had lost all hope. But after learning to bless her husband, they become more kind, helpful, considerate to each other, and she has hope for a marriage that she never had before. Powerful. Don't withhold your blessing. When am I supposed to do this? 7:45. Okay. I didn't work it. So don't withhold your blessing. Every time Alicia thought about her grandfather, a violent and painful scene flashed into her mind. She was 10 years old and she was trying to comfort her mother who had been severely burned in a house fire. Her grandfather came into the room and gave Alicia a glare filled with hate and disgust. He walked over to her, jerked her up from the bed, and threw her across the room onto a couch. Still in shock from his assault, Alicia then felt the last of his bitter words, "You'll never be good for anything." There were words a 10-year-old mind couldn't comprehend, but there was no mistaking the hatred and the contempt. Why would a grandfather spew out such deadly venom toward his 10-year-old granddaughter? Because to him, she represented the shame his daughter had brought upon the family by giving birth out of wedlock. On top of that, Alicia's father was from another ethnic group, a fact that was obvious from the young girl's physical features. Alicia grew up bearing the family shame. She was tortured with fears of further rejection and anxieties and frustrations and seemed to consume her every thinking moment. Then one day she learned a way to resolve the pain and rejection of those many past years. It was so simple she marveled she hadn't learned about it sooner. What did Alicia do? She gave a verbal blessing to that grandfather who had wounded her so deeply and to the others who had cursed her over the years. And just that quickly, the awful pain faded from her heart. Again, the power of what God can do when we choose to bless even our enemies. So what does the blessing look like? Well, when we look into the Old Testament and we look at the Israelites, the Hebrew people, and the way that they did the blessing, there are five different things involved and a blessing. And the first one, there's five elements. The first one is that meaningful touch. They often in the Old Testament laid hands, even in the New Testament, upon the head of the one they were blessing. Or maybe they gave a kiss. Or maybe they gave a hug. But there was always that meaningful touch. It's like transferring your blessing. It's like God's power being transmitted from you to the one that you are blessing. And, you know, the touch.
touch, meaningful touch, is such an affirmation. It's affection. It's warmth. And we see Jesus doing that with the little children, how he gathered them in his arms and touched them and blessed them. So that's a very important part of the blessing. The spoken message. We need to verbalize our blessing. You know, sometimes we can be blessing someone in our thoughts, but they would never know. A real blessing needs to be spoken. They need to hear your words of faith spoken over them, and it even does something to us as we hear it, as we hear ourselves saying, God, we believe you, give my child her peace. It builds faith in us. It builds faith in them. So let your one that you're blessing be sure to hear it. Speak it. Let God help you with the words. Don't assume people know you're speaking a blessing over them. Verbalize it. And then attaching high value, recognition that this person is valuable and is respected and honored. That is always part of the blessing, that who you're blessing feels honored and respected. A word of blessing should carry with them the recognition that this person is valuable, respected, and honored, not because of how they look or how they perform, but who they are in Christ, made in his image and loved by God. And then the next one is picturing a special future, a biblical picture, a godly future. Don't make it so grandiose. You know, you want them to be the all-star pitcher on the baseball team or something that, you know, is totally out of their realm. Not even something that God has in mind for them. So we want to be careful. We can give them a special picture of the future in a godly sense. We're going to talk about this tomorrow, about recognizing the special gifts in our children. And knowing that God put them there for a purpose. And he wants to use them in a certain way. Maybe they have real compassion for people. That's just built into them. You don't have to tell them you should feel sorry or you should help that person. They just automatically do it. It's like a gift that God has put in them. And you can help them picture, you know, God may use you in some kind of compassionate ministry, serving others. Because I see the real gift of compassion in you. Give them a biblical picture of what they're like. When kids know that there's a purpose, that God has a purpose for them, it is amazing. It is amazing. Now come up to that level of that picture. It will encourage them. It will inspire them. So you want to give them a picture of a special future. And you know, sometimes we might not be seeing exactly where God's going to use them. I'm wondering God has for them. I want to tell you a little story about Marcia. She was labeled a slow learner. Yeah. Her parents, even before school had started, knew that learning was hard for her, and she just didn't keep up with the other kids. And by the time elementary school, she was there. Indeed, she was labeled a slow learner, and the teachers had told her parents that they needed to put her in the slow learner group, much to the dismay of her parents. But they knew that she had a tough time. And so Marcia, she did. Everything other kids could do in a matter of 20 minutes, half an hour, it always took Marcia at least an hour. You know, she was, the other kids would be putting their books away, they were done, and she would just be working her little hand off, trying to do whatever, and she just could never keep up. But her parents did see that when she was at home and in the neighborhood and playing with the other kids, that she had this certain ability to explain things to the other kids and they would understand. And she had a way of encouraging them to try things. And so they were teaching a young Sunday school class at the time. So they talked together and decided, let's ask Marcia. And she was now, you know, approaching high school. Marcia, would you like to help us teach our Sunday school? after a certain length of time helping in that Sunday school class, decided she wanted to be a teacher. She loved this. This was pretty cool. And so she went to her parents and she said, you know what? I want to be a teacher someday. And you know, the parents knew how hard it was for Marcia to even pass from one grade to the other, let alone go to college and think of getting a degree and coming out and being a teacher. And you know, they probably could have said, well, that's great, Marcia. Yeah, maybe. I don't know, though. It might be hard. They could have not helped Marcia see a special picture of her future. But instead, they chose to say, well, Marcia, if that's your dream, and we do see that you are real good at teaching kids, we'll stand behind you. We'll get you the help you need. And so they did. They got tutors, and they got extra help for her in the classes that she needed it. And high school was just every time the grades came out, she was still at the bottom, even with the help. But they were getting her through. They were pulling her through. And come college, it took her 6 years to go through a four-year program. But at the end of those 6 years, she received her diploma and her degree. And praise God, she even had a job waiting for her the next school year, because she had done her student teaching at school and so impressed the principal that he wanted her to fill a spot on his staff. So, you know what? God had helped through the parents of Marcia to give that special picture of a future that she could obtain, she could go for, and encouraged her instead of telling her there was no way that that could happen. They encouraged her with that special picture of a slow learner being a success. And then the last one is active commitment. It's the mortar that holds all the other elements together. If we're going to bless our children and we're going to give them a picture of a special future, we're going to have to do like Marcia's parents. Stand behind them. Give the time. Give the energy. Give the effort to stand behind what we have blessed them with. If we ask God to bless them with his wisdom, we need to be committed to their learning of him. If we ask God to bless them with a desire to follow him, we need to set an example of what that looks like. If we ask God to bless them with self-control, we need to commit to teach them discipline. An active commitment means we have our loved ones' highest good and their best interest at the center of our priorities. We'll need to rely on the Lord to give us strength. Parenting is not an easy job, especially in this culture today. That's why I feel it's especially important that we learn about the power of our words, the power of speaking and blessing. Our children need our encouraging words. They need the power of God working in their life. And you know what you do when you speak that blessing over to your children? You also let them know daily God is with them, that God is going before them, after them. Children that have been raised in a household where their parents are blessing them often just have an extra security that they are loved by God and he has a purpose for their lives. It comes out of speaking that blessing over them. And our kids are going to face a lot in this world, things that we never faced. And they will need that inner strength. They will need that security of knowing that God has a plan for them. He has a good purpose. And he goes before them and after them. And when we picture a special future, with God working in that special future, it's just like when God spoke to Abraham and said, you will be the father of many. And he didn't just leave it at that. He said, come out of your tent, Abraham, and look up to the sky and see the stars and know that your descendants are as many as the stars. And so in that 20 years when Abraham wasn't seeing any child, he could go outside in the night and look up and remember God's promise. And our children are going to be discouraged. There's going to be times of fear. There's going to be times of insecurity. There's going to be times of failure. If they can go outside and look out, if they can go to that place and
they've been blessed, and they know God has a special future for them, it will be powerful. It will be powerful in their life and powerful in your life. Because God is working through you to bring blessing through your encouraging words every day, or that time when you really invoke the name of God and you speak that blessing intentionally, inviting God's favor and power into your life. Does that make sense? Let's just thank God that He's given us that privilege, and then ask Him to help us just step out if we've never done that before, or help us to continue. Father, thank you for the privilege of knowing you, the privilege of being blessed by you, the privilege of your word, God, that we can speak into our children's lives, that we can frame their lives. Lord, I pray for each one of us here, Lord, that you would empower us to speak correct words into our children's lives, encouraging, inspiring words, Father. And then, Lord, as we choose to step out and maybe a new way of speaking your blessing and using your name to bless our children, Father, we pray that you teach us and work through our desire to have faith in what you've told us to do.